Second Chronicles, the 29th chapter of Second Chronicles. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We'll start reading at verse number 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For your fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and have forsaken him. And have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. And they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offering in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment and to hissing, as you see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Let us pray. Father, again today I want to thank you for the blessed book, the wonderful, wonderful, precious book, the Word of God. Thank you tonight for this great privilege of just having read just a little bit of it, Father, before this assembly. And Lord, tonight this preacher needs you. I need your power. I need your wisdom. Lord, I just need you tonight. You know the needs of my life. And I ask you, Lord, to help me be a blessing to these people tonight by giving forth the word of God. Once again, we pray for our pastor. God bless him. Help him, Lord. Courage his heart and certainly give him safety and some rest this coming week. Father, thank you now for just who you are. You're the true, the living God. You're our Savior. Thank you in Jesus' blessed, wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Next Sunday begins a revival meeting here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And we're excited about that. I don't know how many people have said to me, you know, I'm looking forward to Brother Hightower being here. I'll join that crowd because I too am looking forward to seeing him and to looking forward to the messages that he's going to bring to us. I know it'll be a blessing, and we just believe that God's just going to do something good and wonderful just because he's good and he's wonderful. And so he's going to do that for us, and we're looking forward to that. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at a revival that happened here in the 29th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles, the revival under the leadership of Hezekiah the king. And we're just going to look and see what happened. How did it come to pass? And maybe we can learn some things and prepare. I've kind of entitled the message, Preparing for Revival. Brother Klein in there, he's always wanting me to give some kind of a title, and I'm not very good at that, so Brother Klein, that's it. It's Preparing for Revival. That's the title of the message tonight, amen? And so we're going to look and see what happened, why there was a need of revival, first of all, what had happened, and then what Hezekiah led Israel to do to bring about this getting back to God. And I believe, you know, we need revival. Don't you believe that? I mean, I believe America needs revival. I believe Blessed Hope needs revival. We've got a great church. We've got a great pastor, does a wonderful job. But we need revival. We need to be revived, you know, so that we'll just be better for God than we've ever been before, you see. And so we'll look, first of all, what Ahaz, this is Hezekiah's daddy, did. And that, of course, that's in chapter 28. Let's just read a few verses. Give us a little background on why the need of revival was there. In chapter 28, verse 1, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David, his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. And moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Here in these verses, we get a little bit of picture about Ahaz. He was a wicked man. He did not those things which was right in the eyes of the Lord. You know, I've said this before, God's not much interested as far as the polls that are taken and all of those things about who thinks so-and-so is up here or down here. He looks at people, he looks at leadership and says, are they doing it right in the eyes of the Lord? That's what matters to our Heavenly Father. Now, you look over in verse number 21, and we'll see something else. We'll skip all the other for the time being. It says, for Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord and out of the house of the king and of the princes and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. He thought he'd get help from Assyria, so he took some money and riches and things out of the house of God, gave it here to the king of Assyria, but he didn't help him. And he says, in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that king Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. He said, well, these gods of Damascus and of Syria here, he said, they helped them when they came and took control of us. So I think I'll sacrifice to them gods and see if they'll just help me. You see, so foolish. So foolish. And then he says in verse 24, and Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. Here we find the reason there was a great need for revival, because they'd shut up the doors of the house of God. They had turned away from the things of the Lord and from doing right. And so what he said, so what Hezekiah does, and this is his son, comes along when he begins to reign and he begins to straighten things out. I want to just kind of look at those things tonight and see what he did. Maybe it'll help us as we prepare for this revival that God is going to give us. If you will look in verse 3 of chapter 29, he says, and he in the first year of the reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. That's the first thing he done. He said, we got to get the doors of the house of God open. We've got to have a place for our people to go and worship God. Aren't you glad this house of God, the doors are open? Aren't you grateful and thankful that God has given us a place where we can come and hear the word of God and hear it preached and hear it taught and sing praises to the Lord, do all those things? You see, you got to have the doors of the house open. And let me say to you, but sometimes folks don't do any good to have them open if people won't come in them. You see, sometimes folk just don't come in. I see a day. We're in such a day. I see it all the time. People in troubles and heartaches. And the first thing they do is they run from God. They run out of the house of God. Don't make sense to me. Never has made sense to me. But it seems like that's what they always do. They run away from God. You see, that's not the thing to do. When troubles and heartaches come, what do you do? Well, you run to God. You run to Him, and you get around God's people and seek the help of the Lord. See, that's what we do. But no, multitudes of people have seen it down through the years. First thing they want to do is get out of the house of God when something bad happens. No. That's not the thing to do. But Hezekiah opened up the doors of the house of God. And then if you'll notice in verse 4 and 5, Hezekiah done what needed to be done next. He says, and he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together unto the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. First thing he done was he called the Levites and the priests together. He said, you need to get your lives straight. You need to get sanctified. I say to you today, leadership needs to get right with God. See, we preachers, we need to make sure we're right with God. How can we preach the word of God if we're not right with God? See, so that's one of the first things that he did, got them all together. I want to tell you, we got to get back to the old preaching of the book, preaching of the Bible, preaching of the Word of God, and we as preachers got to get back and be right with God so that we can have the power of God in our lives. I'm not going to take a whole long time, but if you want to turn over there, I want you to go to the book of Acts for just a moment. Book of Acts, the second chapter. And I want to show you here in this great, wonderful, not only revival, but wonderful time called the Day of Pentecost. I want to show you just kind of quickly. We won't take a lot of time, but I want to show you what happened here. First of all, in chapter 2, in verse 14, it says, And Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. The first thing that Peter done is he stood up and began to preach. We need preaching. We've got to have preaching. That must come. And in the house of God, we've got to have preaching of God's word. And notice that I'm just going to skip kind of down through, but in verse number 22, he said, Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You see, Peter wasn't afraid to just preach the word, tell the truth. These were people who had been involved in the slaying of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he just began to preach the word of God. And in verse 24, he said, Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Once again, you notice he begins to talk about Jesus and how that he was raised from the dead. And then we go over to verse 22. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Look at verse number 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You know what he done? He just got up and preached Jesus. And I'm saying to you, you know, though that's needed across this land today, Jesus, the Son of God, he's the one that must be lifted up. He's the one that must be preached and honored, you see. And told about. We must tell people how wonderful Jesus is, you see. And that's what Peter did. He just began to preach, and on that day of Pentecost. And then you'll notice what happened after that. You'll notice in verse 37, it says, Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? You notice right after he began to preach, there come conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. They saw their sin. And oh, I'm saying to you today, there needs to be great conviction from the Lord upon we as Christians and upon the lost today. You see, we need to get back to listening to what the Word of God says and letting the Holy Spirit of God convict us. And then you look in verse number 38, and he says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you notice again, after there was conviction, there was repentance. They was ready to listen. They was ready to hear what God said. And so he said to them, he said, you know, you repent. That's what God wants you to do. Look at verse number 41. And he says there, then that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. After that, after conviction and turning from their sin, he said, now I want you to seal that with baptism. I want you to get baptized. He said, we know baptism doesn't save anybody, but after you get saved, you ought to get baptized. I don't know who's sitting out here. I don't know if you're baptized or not baptized, but let me encourage you, if you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you need to be baptized. Amen. You need to follow the Lord in baptism. And then, of course, they did that. And then in verse 41 also, he says, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. What do you do after you get saved and get baptized? Well, you join up. You join a good independent fundamental Baptist church. You can become a part of it. You get involved in it, you see. And that's what they did, you see. And notice in verse 46 what happened there. He says here, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Once you notice that they continued. Again, I say today, folks, we just need folk that'll continue. Just keep serving God. Don't matter what happens. Don't matter what comes your way. Just keep serving God. Don't let old Satan get you out of church and away from the house of God. Don't let Satan do that. No, continue in the things of God. See, and that's what they did. And then in verse 47 there, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You notice next came the praising of the Lord. Next came soul winning. You notice that? Yeah, it's added to the church, soul winning, seeing people saved, seeing people born again. That's what happens when real revival comes. You see, that'll happen in a church when real revival comes. We're blessed here. I mean, we see folks saved on a regular basis, and we're just blessed, and thank God for that. But folks, listen, I believe we still can use a revival. Amen. I still think God wants to do more and for us. Now notice, going back into 2 Chronicles, the 29th chapter, you'll notice in verse number 5, he says, and he said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourself, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your father, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Also in verse 15, he said, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves, and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. You notice what? He said, you've got to clean things up. Get the filthiness out of the house of God. We got to do that. We got to make sure no filthiness stays in the house of God. Amen. We want to help people. We want to be a blessing. We want to be help people. But we don't want filthiness in the house of God. We gotta cleanse it. We gotta keep our eye open. You know, I think of some of the things that goes on in some of the churches in America, and I think sometimes, and I wonder if Jesus was around, I think he would get his whip out. I think he'd get his scourge out. I believe he'd start driving some things out. Don't you? See, some of these things that goes on, it's no. We gotta, if you want revival, you're gonna have to clean the place up. Amen. I'm not talking about with a little dirt or smudges on the wall. I'm talking about spiritually. We've got to clean things up and make sure the house of God is a clean place, you see. And then it says also in verse number 6 and verse number 7, he says, for our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. And he says, and they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offering in the holy place unto the God of Israel. You know what he says? He said, we need to confess the sins of our fathers. Now, folks, listen. There's been a lot of failure. I'm not talking about just some weaknesses or something like that that our fathers had. We all have those. I'm talking about that our fathers have failed in many, many areas. See, churches all over this land, they've just went backwards, away from the strict word of God. Now, why is that? Well, somebody wasn't willing to stand up. Somewhere along the line, preachers was not willing to stand up that things be done scripturally and rightly. But not only preachers. Folks, you are responsible to keep the word of God, you see. And we need to realize that somewhere back there, all of these little churches, I see them all over the country. You see them everywhere, spotted here and there. And thank God we've got a lot of wonderful churches around. Thank God for that. But I want to tell you, if you would count the number of churches that are out there that are not preaching the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of God, that are not doing, how did we get there? Somebody let up. Somebody quit standing. Some preacher quit preaching. Some congregation quit expecting the word of God to be preached and to be lived by. You see, somewhere. And that's what he says, our fathers has done wrong. The reason we're where we are in America is somebody has let up and not done right. You see, you've got to do right. You've got to keep a church right. Oh, Satan's fighting all the time to weaken a church. That's what he wants to see done. But I'm saying to you, we gotta look back, see where our fathers failed, and we've got to go on forth. Yes, sir. And we've got to stand, you see. Because if you look at this thing, that was the cause of all the trouble. Look at verse number 8, and he says, wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem. Why? He said, wherefore? What does that mean? Well, verse 6 and 7, that's why. Wherefore, because our fathers didn't do this or that, he said, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he had delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as you see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. I'm sure you understand this, but do you understand, folks, when our fathers let down and didn't keep things right in the church, that also took care of the children of them churches, and it took care of the grandchildren of those churches. We're not just doing this for us. We've got to make sure because of our children. We've got to be sure because of our grandchildren and great grandchildren coming up in this church that it stays according to the book. And the only way it's going to do that is a group of people. Yes, we've got a leader, a pastor that will do everything he can, but he's got to have a people that's willing to do that. Yes, amen. And we just cannot let up, because if we do, that's what's going to happen. We've got to keep the house of God clean. Now he says in verse number 10 and verse number 11, now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. You see, we can't help what happened in the past. But God says it's time for us to make a new covenant with the Lord. It's time for us to stand. And that's what he tells them to do. Stand for the right. Stand for the word of God, you see. We've got to do that. You understand? It's a new day. The ball's in our end of the court. Amen. We can't talk about all that's happened in the past. Folks, we can talk about it, but we got to do something about it. We got to change it. We got to make sure it stands right according to the word of God, you see. And so that's what he tells them to do. Look over in chapter 30 and verse number 7. He says, "And be not ye like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourself unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you." See what he says? No matter what your father's done, you've got to stand. We've got to stand, no matter what those in the past have done. We've got to keep Blessed Hope Baptist Church right down the line according to the Scripture. Amen. We've got to do that, you see. And then you notice, and I like this, because Hezekiah, immediately then, after he got all of these things done, Hezekiah does something here in verse number 20. And he says, "Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for a kingdom, for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bullocks, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. And they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them, and the priests killed them. And they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel." You know what he done? He got the blood involved. And I want to tell you, you're going to have revival. You can't forget the blood. See, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sin. Amen. And immediately he went and had sacrifices made, and the blood was there. And I say to you, we can never forget about the wonderful blood of Jesus Christ. Can't even pray to our Heavenly Father. We couldn't even stand and talk to our Heavenly Father except it be for the shed blood of the Son of God. Amen. And we can never forget that. You want real revival, you can't forget the blood. See, we got to get back to the talking about the blood and honoring the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who paid for our sins, you see. And then he noticed in verse number 18 and 19, if you'll notice, he says here, "Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in the transgressions have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord." I want to just say something to you there. You know what he said? He had to go back. He had to go back and correct those things that was wrong. There's a lot of things you've got to correct. See, when things are wrong, you've got to correct them. I've for years, and I've heard this. I've heard this for years. I've heard this from preachers. You know, they'll go in, they'll go to a church and say, "Well, you know, that church ain't doing right, you know, but, you know, I'm going to take my time and I'm going to teach them." And it's a funny thing. They never get around to it. Never get around to it. I'm telling you, if the Word of God is the Word of God, we need to preach it. If standards is right, then we need to preach them. Amen. Lay it on the line. You say, "Oh, Brother Ross, say people can't take that." Don't matter whether they can take it or not. That's not why you determine what you preach. It's whether people can take it or not. You just simply preach the Bible, the Word of God. Some years back, there was a man who preached standards, far as I know, all of his life. He said to me one day, now this is what he said. He said, "Well, you know, Brother Ross, you can't do that anymore." And I said, "What?" He said, "Well, you can't do that anymore. You know, people won't accept that." I said, Is it ever right? Was it ever right?" "Oh, I believe it's right." And I said, "Then it's right now." "Oh, yeah, you preach the book. Don't make any difference what people think. You preach the book." You see, you gotta correct those things that's been lost. See, Blessed Hope Baptist Church wasn't founded on, "Well, I'll just teach a little bit and then we'll just hope they come around." It's not what it was founded on. We learned together, we grew together, and when we found it in the book, we did it. We established it. You understand what I'm saying? You see, that's foolishness. You got to go back and you got to recapture those things that's been lost. And boy, there's been a lot lost. Churches today, there's just been too much loss. You take the music situation. My goodness sakes alive, I don't know what to do with these people. I have no idea. I'll talk about them here in a minute. But you talk about that, and I don't know what to do with them. I really don't know. What? How foolish. They get that old rotten music in the house of God. Should not be there, but I'll talk about that in just a minute. And then the morals. We got to get back to right morals. Modesty. Amen. Modesty and dress. Amen. Morals. Right morals. This is the house of God. We got to get back to those things. You say, Brother Ross, somebody fails, and what do? You just kick them out? No, you try to help them, but you bring them back to the right things. I believe in helping folks, but folks, I don't believe in letting them just keep doing things because of a wickedness in their heart. House of God has to be clean.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you understand that?
Yes,
house of God, yeah, it has to be clean. So anyway, we've got to get back to those things. We've got to reestablish those things that's been lost. And then in verse 25, I notice, and boy, I like this. He says, and he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad the king's seer and Nathan the prophet, for so was the commandments of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. I want to tell you what they did. That worship was restored. They began to worship God again. I mean, they just put him first and began to worship him. And one of the first thing they did was they began to get singing back in. The right kind of singing. Look at verse number 26. And he says, and the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets, and Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offerings upon the altar. And when the burnt offerings began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. What happened was they began to sing good, solid songs for the Lord and sing praises unto the Lord. See, we've got to remember something. We've got to get rid of this old contemporary junk. We don't need this contemporary junk. We need to hear spiritual songs and psalms and hymns that'll honor and glorify God Almighty. And we got to make sure that this church stays there. We don't need those old contemporary songs. Don't need that junk. We don't need the bluegrass. Goodness gracious alive. What are they doing to God's house? This old music that's worthless, no count, doesn't honor God whatsoever. And they did, though. They honored God with good, solid music. Begin to sing. I think singing is a wonderful thing. And I think it's part of the worship of the Lord in every church, should be, because we sing unto the Lord.
Amen.
Sing good, solid songs, you see. And then in verse 30, notice what happened. He says, and moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise. You see, not only did they just sing, but they began to praise God. And I believe he's worthy of praise, don't you? We need to hear the praise of the Lord in our churches, in our hearts. I think God loves to hear people praising God in the shower or wherever you might be. I think it's a great thing. I think we just honor God with song and praise and just praise his blessed name. I like to lay in bed of a night sometime and just sit there and think about how good God is. Oh, my goodness. He's so good. And I want to tell you, real revival will bring that kind of thought back to your heart. You see, and back to a church. And then in verse 31 through 35, you'll notice he says, and he said, then Hezekiah answered and said, now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offering unto the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, and 100 rams, and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And if if you keep reading, it's amazing all the things that was brought into the house of God, just bundles and bundles of things, you know. And I want to tell you something. Up there in that verse 31, he talks about as we're of a free heart. You see, you get people's heart right, you won't have to worry about offerings. No, I'm convinced of that. I've seen it down through the years. You see, sometimes preachers, they just have to talk to their people about giving and giving and giving. But I want to tell you something. You get a person's heart right, you won't have to talk about giving. I mean, you have to talk about it. You have to teach it. You have to tell them. But I want to tell you something. You get a person's heart right, you know what to give. You see, I just know this. All I know is what I know. I know on Sunday morning when I come and put my offering, it's exactly what God wants me to give. No, I just know that. I mean, I get along with the Lord. I mean, I don't know what anybody else does, but I know what God wants me to give. I know that from the bottom of my heart. Do you understand? Don't you think you should too? See, you get your heart right, giving heart, ready to just say, God, whatever it is, I'll just do it. You won't have to worry about it. See, that's what a part of revival is. People get revived. It won't matter. You see, because God will work on their heart and you'll be able to give and do as God tells you, you see, to do. It's a marvelous, marvelous thing. And the result of all of that, in verse number 36, and Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people for the thing was done suddenly. The result of all of that happened was rejoicing. See, rejoicing for what God had done, you see. Revival had come. Now, what do we do to bring that revival? First of all, in verse number 6, you're going to have to see where sin is. You're going to have to see your sin. Folks, listen to me. I can't read your heart. You can't read mine. But our hearts, if we're going to have good revival this coming next week, we're going to have our hearts right. We're going to have our hearts right. And we're going to have to search, let God search our hearts and make sure that we're right with Him. That's the only way revival is ever going to come. We got to see our sin. And then also in verse number 10 of chapter 29, he said, now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. I just believe something. I believe if we're going to see revival, there has to be a desire in our heart for it to come. We've got to want revival. Amen. Do you want to see God do some things this coming next, the week of a revival? I mean, really do some. Do you have a desire just to see God move? Amen. We can do all we can do. We've got to visit. We've got to pray. We've got to do all of those things. But in our hearts ought to be a great desire to see God rend the heavens and come down and meet with us. Amen. This is what happened there. And then we need to follow through. If you'll notice in chapter 31, please, just turn over to chapter 31 there. And verse number 20. It says, and this did Hezekiah throughout all Judea, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all of his heart and prospered. You see, Hezekiah just didn't have a week-long meeting. He had a meeting that lasted. He followed through. That's what we've got to do. When God moves in our heart, we've got to follow through with that. We've got to continue the things of the Lord and what he does for us here. I just happen to believe something. I just happen to believe God can do everything that needs to be done. I just happen to believe that. I don't know about you, but I believe that God can make a way through the sea, the old Red Sea. I think he can still do that. I think he can make a way through Jordan. I think God can still do that. I believe that God can prepare a table in the presence of our enemy. I believe that God can bring water out of the rock. I believe God can make a bitter water sweet. There's a lot of bitter waters out there, but God's still able to make bitter waters sweet. I believe he can feed the 5,000. I believe that God can still the angry waves. I believe God can still the raging storms.
I believe he can do that. And they're raging. And I believe he can still take care of those things. I believe that he can set the captive free. I believe that he can heal the brokenhearted. A lot of broken hearts out there in this old world today, folks, but I believe Jesus can heal them. I believe that he can save the worst of sinners. And I believe that he can restore the wayward backslider that's gotten away from God. I believe he can do it. I believe that he can solve the deepest problem, no matter what it is. And I believe he can open the eyes of the blind and cause the deaf to hear. I believe he can do that. I believe he can still do that. You see, I believe he can do all of those things. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. And I believe he can send revival to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. I believe he can. Amen. So those things that we've looked at tonight just kind of help us to see what Hezekiah did. Folks, we've got to be ready, prepared for revival. Amen. We've got to ask God to send it to us. That we'll just see a great, wonderful time. Now, will you do me a favor? Will you do your best to do all you can do? Will you invite folk? Will you get on that phone and talk to people and invite folk and go door to door or whoever, however it might be with you? Will you invite people? Will you pray? Will you ask God to do something great and expect him to do it? Will you just do that? Amen. And then Brother Hightower, he'll come and preach the Word of God. See, that's his job. Come and preach the Bible to us, the Word of God, and then just let God work. Amen. Let's see what God will do for us. Let us pray. Father, thank you again today for the wonderful grace of God, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for who you are. You're the great, you're the true, that you're the living God. And Father, we ask you to send us revival, send a great time here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, not for our glory, but for your glory, for your honor and praise, that we'll see people saved. We'll see Christians, Lord, just come back to the Lord, get right with God if there's a need. And Father, we're depending on you to do that. We want you to rend the heavens and come down and do something mighty and wonderful for this church. Thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray.